as they make their way out. We're, I'm going to invite Brandy up. She has some announcements for you.
Mostly just one announcement, but we're going to have a New Year's party for all the ladies this coming Saturday, the 9th. It's going to be here at 1 o'clock, and you're going to bring an appetizer and a $15 gift. We're going to do a little gift exchange, so we still have a party to look forward to, in case you don't all have birthdays this week like we do. And then grab one of these forms. We're going to do something a little bit different and fun this year to stay connected with at least one other lady. Grab one of these forms before you leave, fill it out, and bring it back to the party. It's a secret sister prayer gift type thing, just to have another lady that you're praying for. We're going to draw them kind of out of a hat. Halise's heading this up, and it's going to be great. So you can give them some ideas of what you like, and maybe you could put on there what you don't like too, just in case. And that'll give you a lady to stay connected with throughout the year that you're praying for and giving little gifts to, and just staying connected with ladies. So hopefully you can be a part of that. It's for 18 and older, although we talked about maybe doing one for the teenagers. So if any teenage girls are interested in doing one with teenagers, let me know about that too. So hope to see all you ladies there Saturday.
Awesome, thanks. All right. I want to remind you guys, in your bulletin, you'll see a couple little cards. The first one is this. It's a prayer card. If there's anything that you need prayer for, if you want to meet with me or one of the elders, you can let us know here. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you. You can let us know if it's something you'd let kept confidential, or if it's something that we should put in an email or in a bulletin and let folks know that they could be praying for you as well. Also, there's this little guy. As our church grows, so do our needs, but so do the opportunities, right? And so if you have a specific area of gifting or experience or ability along the lines of any of the things in here, check our box. Let us know. We'd love to get you plugged in. We have some real needs in the area of children's ministry and nursery. We've got some kiddos, and we'd like to give Miss Daylene a break once in a while, so we could use some help there. Also, if you'd be interested in being part of a small group coming into this next year, let us know here as well. You could give us your name and contact info, and we will be reaching out to you in the coming weeks to get that set up. Also, next week, I guess it's January 10th already, we're going to have our yearly congregational budget meeting. There are proposed budgets for 2021 on that back table if you'd like to take a look. Also, we're going to amend our constitution in some specific ways that pertain to membership here. Hopefully, to clarify some things that might have been confusing before. So those are in the back as well. If you are a voting member of the church, we'd like you to take a look at those and be familiar with what we're proposing. So next week, as that presented, we can vote it and move on. All right. Well, it is the time of year where we make resolutions. Right? You know, it's resolution time. We might have forgotten about that and all the weirdness of the last year. But we come in a new year, maybe even thinking about it the week before. What are some things we want to try to do this year? What are some habits we'd like to develop and put in place? Popular ones are diet, especially if you come out of the holidays, you've eaten things you should not have and too much of it. So you come in a new year, you think, I really need to cut back on the sweets. Maybe my portions need to be smaller. Maybe you think about, well, okay, if I work out enough, maybe I can outstrip the calories I'm eating. So you may have work out. You may say, you know, I'm going to start journaling this year. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to try to fill in the blank, right? And the point of that is that we're thinking, well, maybe this year could be better than the last if we did these things. We could be happier, healthier, holier. I don't know. Well, last week we debriefed 2020. We talked about the fact that God has shown his grace in the past to affect our present perspective, and this motivates an urgency and a zealousness for good works. This week I want to unpack and make some suggestions for what those good works might be for us this year. We could see them as corporate, church-wide resolutions. So we're gonna make some resolutions today. Now, I have to tell you, this week's only an introduction. Not everything happens. That would be too much. But we'll unpack each of these thoughts throughout the month of January. But we have to start with the framework, and some of you have seen this before. It is this: commandments informing commission impacting culture. If you wanted a 30,000-foot view of the New Testament, what the church is supposed to be doing, it's this: the Great Commandments, those inform the Great Commission, we are familiar with that, and those then in turn impact the culture both inside of the church and that we're changed, but it also impacts the culture outside of the church and the people that we're interacting with, be it friends, family, coworkers, schoolmates, begin to change because of our influence in their lives. And so this is not only, I guess you could call it our marching orders as the church, generally speaking, it's also a diagnostic tool. So if we look at our church and we say, you know, we're not really impacting the culture around us, we take a step back and we go, well, are we doing the Great Commission? Are we being obedient to that? If we're not, we have to take another step back and go, what about the Great Commandments? What about the first Great Commandment? What about the second Great Commandment? So we take a step back and we look at the second Great Commandment, which is to love one another as you love yourself, or as Jesus loved you. It's another way to put it. If we're not doing that, we go another step back to the first Great Commandment. We go, are we loving God? Because the truth is, unless we love God the way we are told to love God, we don't do the second Great Commandment. We don't do the Great Commission. And guess what? Culture doesn't get changed, at least in a positive way, the way God intends it to. So that's kind of what we're going to use as a framework to attach some of our resolutions to as we move forward, okay? This last year, I read a devotional called My Utmost for His Highest. Anybody ever do that? It's old. It's been around a long time. It's a classic. And I got to be honest, I don't always understand exactly what Mr. Chambers is saying, okay? I got to think about it. But it's been a great one. He closes out December 31st with this quote: leave the irreparable past in his hands and step out into the irresistible future with him. Now, I've also mentioned throughout 2020 that the times are ripe for opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's challenges. Last year was challenging. But if we're looking at it with the right perspective, there are opportunities to do things that perhaps the Church of Jesus Christ has never done before. We have the opportunity to see God work like maybe no generation has seen him work before. And that's exciting stuff. And so, we want to say step into the irresistible future in 2021. He says, that sounds cheesy. I know, it totally is. It's totally cheesy. But that way you remember it. And besides, it's what Oswald Chambers says. So we'll blame him. I just ripped it off. Well, certainly this can mean that the future is irresistible and that there is literally no way you can stop it from coming. You cannot resist 2021. It's happening, and whatever is going to happen is going to happen, regardless of whether you like it or not, regardless of whether you're prepared or not. It's coming, right? And so we should be prepared in some ways for it. But that's not how we mean irresistible. That's not the meaning I want to use. Irresistible can also mean that it is too attractive and tempting to be resisted. Based on 2020, you may be thinking my expectations are a bit too high for 2021, to say that about 2021, right? But what if 2021 and whatever is coming with it is better than any year before because we decide as a church family to walk with God like we never have before? What if we draw a line in the sand and say, this year's going to be different? And we make some resolutions, not just individually, not just in our family, but as a church family, a spiritual family, together to ensure that 2021, whatever it holds for us in terms of the circumstances of life and our country and health and finances and politics and all that stuff, regardless of all of that stuff, spiritually speaking, it's the best year we've had yet. I think God could do that for us. See, we already know that because of the finished work of Christ, we can have joy and hope regardless of circumstances. So 2020 shook us pretty good. If you had dependence on health, finances, government, the list goes on. I mean, every area of life, it shook us pretty good. So I want to lay out some good works for us to help live out our saving faith that will make 2021 the best year spiritually. And it doesn't matter what gets thrown at us. Somebody says, I already made some resolutions. Isn't that enough? Can't keep my brain around all this stuff. Well, the point is, guys, that we unify around these together as a church family. You're allowed to keep your resolutions. You don't have to chuck them. But I think it would be good for us as a spiritual family to unite around some things. Now, what I'm going to share with you this morning are just some things that I've noted about 2020 that can bode well for us as disciples of Jesus Christ in 2021. And those influence the resolutions I'm proposing. Are these the only resolutions that we should have as a church body? There might be others that you notice. Well, that's okay. We can add to the list, but I am proposing these four as just a starting point for us. First thing I noticed is that 2020 provided more visible opportunities to express obedience to God. There were some challenges where our obedience, our willingness to obey, was tested. And so with the first great commandment, I want to suggest this, that we have joy in obedience in 2021. We have joy in obedience. David wrote in Psalm 119:47, "For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love." Psalm 119, if you've ever read it, is the longest psalm. It is a love song to the law and to statutes and commandments. And some of you are thinking, that doesn't sound real romantic at all. That sounds awful. See, not for David. He loved God's law because he recognized that the good law came from a good God who loved him and wanted what was best for him. And so to love God was to love the law. And we've said many times here that obedience is God's love language. And David took delight in the commandments of God because he loved them. See, joy in obedience begins with a love of God's commandments. And that begins with a love of God. So we've got to go back again. So some of you have realized that obeying God is not very fun and you don't like it and you don't want to do it. And even if you have done it, you have forced yourself out of obligation or duty to be obedient. But there's been no joy in it for you at all. So we've got to go back. Maybe you weren't taking joy in the commandments. Do you love God's commandments? Well, okay, let's take another step back. I don't love the commandments. They're hard. They're boring. I think I could be more fulfilled going this way rather than being obedient. Well, let's back up a step and say, do we love God the way that we should? See, first we have to love God the way that we should, then we'll love his commandments the way that we should, then we'll love obedience and take joy in obedience the way that we should. So we have a little bit of a diagnostic to do maybe with ourselves. We note that this is fairly countercultural today. We noted last week that our culture is running headlong into lawlessness. And in contrast to this, David ran headlong into lawfulness, right? Our culture is going this way. David, according to Psalm 119, was running the opposite way, running toward God, running toward his law because of his love for God. He didn't just love rules in and of themselves. He loved God, and therefore he loved God's rules. Therefore, he found joy in obeying them. We need to understand that God's law is his best for us, and that experiencing delight in walking with alignment with and abiding with Christ is the call on our lives. That's how we walk out being a new creation in Christ. So that's number one. Another thing I noted is that 2020 highlighted the importance of expressing love for one another. There were a lot of things that challenged relationship in 2020. For some of us, our family members took a very different philosophical, political, spiritual approach to life, and it brought challenge and maybe some disunity in our family. We didn't get together with the folks we got together with the holidays last year. Maybe we had a few really awful Facebook conversations. Maybe we had some really awful in-person conversations where there wasn't agreement. I want to suggest, following our outline, that the second great commandment, that we intercede for each other, intercede for others, that'd be a great resolution. See, families have been separated this last year, and the church in some cases has been marginalized. We are very fortunate here at New Life that our leadership is united about what we do and how we as a spiritual family express our faith together. I got to tell you, I'm talking to pastors all over the country, even in our county, There are church leaderships that are totally divided about how the church should meet, if the church should meet, how the church should meet. And there's people going to church experiencing great anxiety. And they don't go at all. They stop. Because anxiety is everywhere else in their life, and then they come in to the presence of their spiritual family, and it's no different. Well, here at New Life, we've said personal responsibility runs the day. We believe that you are image bearers of God. As such, you have dignity, and we don't caretake for you. It's not our job as leadership. And so we want people to feel comfortable coming here regardless of where you stand on the issues, but we are not going to police things here. We believe God has given you a mind and an intellect. He expects you to use it, and so do we. Okay? So we're not bossing people around. We're not policing you. We're also not caretaking for you. Why? Because we love you. We believe you should be treated with dignity. All that said, no matter what the challenges to our gathering we may face, we can always pray. Even if there comes a day where we can't meet or our meetings are threatened, we can always pray. There's a precedent for that. Paul wrote to the Colossians church talking about this gentleman, Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. This guy Epaphras, who shows up one time, is known for struggling, wrestling in his prayers for his brothers and sisters. He wasn't present with them, he was with Paul, but Paul tells him, this guy, who's one of yours, he's praying for you. And he's not just like, hey, you know, bless those guys. He's wrestling. He's striving in prayer. Okay, you say, great. What am I supposed to pray? I don't know what to pray for people. Well, you could ask them. But Paul has an idea for you. He wrote to the Ephesians. He says this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What if somebody prayed that for you? That'd be pretty sweet. What if we prayed that for each other? What would God do in this church? What would he do with our relationships with one another? Some might challenge me, well, how does praying express love meaningfully? Others may not even know that you're praying for them. Well, you can tell folks you're praying for them. I mean, you better be praying for them. So I'm praying for you. Well, you better do it. But that does something, right? It encourages their heart. But the prayer counts too, right? In James, we read, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has a great power as it is working. We pray because it works. In Jude, we read, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. There's prayer. There's hope for the future right in that one verse. Praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. One of the ways we stay walking with God, abiding with God, is praying and praying for one another. How does that work? Well, like we said, if we're not doing the second commandment very well, we've got a problem with the first commandment. If we're doing the second commandment well, it means that we are doing the first commandment. Part of being obedient to the first commandment is doing the second. And that's loving each other the way God loved us and the way we would like to be loved or treated. So we pray for one another. We'll talk about how we're going to do these things in the coming weeks. I just want to introduce them. But see, a willingness to commit ourselves to prayer for one another will continue to change New Life for the better. A year from now, if we have committed to pray for one another, this church will be more united, more loving, more healthy, than we are right now. We might even add some folks. Who knows? Well, how does this happen? I noticed a couple things. I think prayer will bring us into alignment with God. See, sometimes we think prayer is either all about God, like God needs us to pray. He doesn't need you to pray. Prayer is for you. God doesn't need anything. You need to pray for you. And you need to pray for others. There's an alignment issue. As we pray, as we worship God, as we confess sin, as we bring petitions for others and intercede, pray for others, God does this amazing work in our heart. Because there's probably some people in here not getting along right now. There's probably somebody you do want to talk to. Pray for that person. Watch what God does to your heart. Watch what God does to their heart. It's going to soften them toward one another. Bring greater unity to our body. Well, third thing I noticed, that 2020 brought into greater relief the hope of Christ. 2020 brought into greater relief, that is, made more obvious the hope that we have in Christ. Because it shook us. Things that we had our hope in, it revealed those things. Maybe some of us had hope in our investments, and those took a dive. They ended up coming back up, but there was some shaking there. Maybe some of us had hope in our health. Maybe some of us had a hope in the goodness of man and our government, that they would always do what's best for us. I don't know where your hope was, but I'm suspicious that in some way, shape, or form, it got challenged this year. So as we look at the third thing, is the Great Commission, we need to live hope and challenge. Live hope in challenge, in the midst of challenge. It's a longer verse, but Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." It's very appropriate. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Awake here doesn't mean woke. You know what I mean. Awake means sober. Seeing truth for what it is, understanding it, speaking it in whatever way God calls you to do that. Being awake entails an understanding of the nature of the battle that we fight and that we face. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Our job is to understand not every little thing that's going on. If you've tried, good luck. We can't get every bit of information, know everything that's going on that everybody's doing or shouldn't be doing. But we are to understand what truth is. We are to understand where the battle is. Yes, you should be prepared. That's great. Be responsible. Be wise. But understand that the battle doesn't take place in the flesh. This is a spiritual battle that's going on. Not just in our hearts. Not just in our families. In our nation. In our world. Always has been. More visible now maybe than it was before. But the Bible also speaks to how we are to relate to one another. In Jude, we read, "And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." And so, we are to live hope in challenge. But this living hope doesn't just end in us, or just our family, or just our church family. Our hope is going to go out. And what I'm getting at here is we need to be able to articulate the hope that is in us. We need to not just live it, we need to be able to speak about it. And that leads us to the fourth thing, 2020 challenged outreach. But it also made it more meaningful to others. There are people I wanted to meet with, and I got emails saying that I couldn't go to the nursing home to see them. There are people who don't want to get together because they're concerned about their safety. But in the midst of that, we've realized how truly meaningful our relationships with one another are. So the last thing is culture. Prepare to reach out. I just want to say prepare to reach out. Now, this is hard because some of us are tired. Some of us had kids that can't go to school anymore. Some of us had jobs that changed drastically in the last year. And it didn't take stuff, off of our plate. It added stuff to our plate. And we're busy. And we're tired. We're stressed out. And we're experiencing anxiety. But Paul wrote to the Galatians, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith." So we notice that culture has an arrows in is like us and our families, and arrows out elements. Arrows out being community, our neighbors, those who are outside the family of faith. I think this verse reveals that there's a priority to do what is right here, and then to reach out. So we need to make sure the house is in order. That's the principle. Make sure the house is in order. Make sure we're healthy as a family before we start going out and reaching out. Because if you're going to reach out and you're going to bring people in here, we don't want to bring people into a dysfunctional household. It'd be a mess. We want to bring people into something healthy. And so we have to have an eye for arrows in making sure that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, making sure that we have unity, healthy marriages, all that kind of stuff. But there's this element, we're supposed to be changing culture. We know this because Peter wrote this. "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always, being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason that the hope is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Notice here, there's a lot going on, but notice here I want to focus on that part where we are to respond to those who would ask questions, who would notice something different enough that it would prompt a question on their part, what is going on with you? In our day and age, it could be, why are you not anxious? Why are you not afraid? Haven't you seen what's going on? You seem like you're calm. Well, let me tell you why I can be calm. Let me tell you why I can have peace now, regardless of what's going on around me. I have a living hope. I believe Jesus is coming back. This body, this life that I have, it's not as good as it gets. There's something better. But we need to be ready to articulate that. You got to be prepared. What are you going to say? What are you going to do that will impact others around you and share that hope? Notice we're to respond to those who would ask questions, not necessarily be on the offensive. So you got to have relationships with people if they're going to ask questions of you. You have to be having an impact in people's lives. And they have to trust you and feel safe enough to ask you a question like that, probably, which means you have to have rapport. A lot of times this is going to come maybe in a long game. It's not going to be awkward conversations in a McDonald's. It's probably going to be people that we've known through work or school. So we've got to cultivate relationships where we've consistently lived out our hope, and we need to be prepared to respond. Well, this is a lot to take in. But remember, we're going to examine it more closely in the coming weeks. I didn't want to unpack it all today. This is just the general, here it is, and then we'll look more closely at maybe some specific ways that we can live that out as a church. I'm sorry to spam you this week with all those emails. I won't do that again, I promise. I just wanted you to be thinking and praying about it. One of the things that we're going to do in the coming week, though, as we talk about some of these things, is I might ask you guys, do you have some ideas? What are you doing? What do you think we should do as a church? Because we're a church family, it doesn't all just come down from the top down and tell you what y'all are going to do. I think we could talk about it. And I hope that as a result of this conversation, we have lots of conversations in our families around the dinner table, at small groups, at Bible studies. Well, how do we do this? As a church, how do we do this? How do we live some of these things out? How do we be faithful to have the best spiritual year we've had in 2021? How do we step into an irresistible future together? I hope you'll be praying about that with me, thinking about that with me. Let's pray. Worship team, would you come on up? Oh God, we thank you for getting us through this last year. In it, we can see your faithfulness to us. We can see your power. We can see your grace. We can see your love. And God, as we put 2020 in the rear view and we begin to think about what this year might look like for us personally, for our families, and maybe for our church as well, we want to ask that you would be part of conversations, that you would be part of our prayers and our thoughts, that your Holy Spirit would divinely influence and inspire us, showing us what this should look like for us. Show us how to be obedient to you. And God, help us to be obedient. Help us to love you the way that we should. Help us to love one another the way that we should. Help us to be faithful to carry out the Great Commission, whether that be teaching those that already know you or spreading the good news. And God, I pray that you would help us to live in such a way that we would impact the culture, not just of New Life Fellowship, but the culture around us. And God, that we would be diligent to be able to give an explanation for the hope that we have in you. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.